Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man, with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears back with you here. It's a Getaway Friday, December the 26th, 2025. 12:26:25, 10 minutes past the hour. I hope you had a wonderful and happy Merry Christmas. I know I did. And we're back in the saddle here on Friday, and we'll be here through 1 o'clock this afternoon. And we'll have programs tonight on the station, 8 until 10, and then 10 until 11. Now, of course, here the day after Christmas, I would be sitting alone in the studio. Now, I did see Matt over the Christmas holiday. He said he would be here on time this morning, but, you know, we did have a short news report, so maybe he's just a few minutes late. And also, we are supposed to be rejoined this morning by Pastor Craig, who we have not had in the studio over... It's been over a year and a half, I believe. He's supposed to join us this morning. I have not seen him roll in yet, so hopefully that will happen soon. But since they're not here, there's something I wanted to do this morning to start off the morning. You know, it's still kind of Christmas week, and I think we had a busy Christmas around here, and I forgot to do something that I do every year during the Christmas holiday, so I wanted to start off the morning this morning by doing this. Every year since 2018, we have played the Ed Asner Holiday Skit. Now, this takes about 11 minutes. Essentially, what this was, I wrote a Christmas skit to be performed on the radio, a radio a play, essentially, back in 2018. For myself and somebody else to do. And as I was writing it, I was really writing it for Ed Asner, the legendary Ed Asner who portrayed Lou Grant on the Mary Tyler Moore Show. He was in the movie Elf with Will Ferrell. He was Santa Claus. He did a lot of... He was in Roots, the movie Roots. He was just in so many great things. And Ed Asner actually is the most awarded actor in the history of the Emmy Awards. He's won more Emmys than any other male in the history of the Emmy Awards. And I thought, there is no way Ed Asner's going to do this. I sent the script to him. Ed came back, said he would do the script. We did the script. It's one of my favorite things. It is a Christmas script, but I'm going to call it a holiday script, and it's only the day after Christmas, so we're only a day late and a dollar short. So here on the day after Christmas, as we work ourselves back from the Christmas holiday, here is the Ed Asner holiday skit that somehow we forgot to play during the holiday season this year. So we'll open up with this, and maybe when we come back, it's about 11 minutes long, we'll come back with Pastor Craig and Matt Morgan. So here is the legendary Ed Asner and myself from 2018. Can you believe that? It's been 7 years ago now.
Welcome to the show. Today we're going to do something very special for the holiday season. I know you're listening have some questions about what to do during coming holiday season. So I have enlisted an expert to help us. Let me see if I can get them on the line.
Hello.
Hello, this is Scott Spears with WWGH Radio. Is our Christmas expert there?
Well, yes, it is.
What's your name?
Ed Asner. What's it to you?
Ed Asner? What do you know about Christmas?
You know how many times I played Santa Claus? Where were you? I know everything about the Yuletide season. Now, are you going to get on to your questions, or should I come Dick your halls personally?
And I can certainly see you have the holiday spirit.
Yeah, they hired me for my personality. And there you go with that holiday stuff. Are you one of those happy holiday guys?
Well, yes, I like to encompass all the holidays at this time of year.
You send holiday cards, eat holiday cookies? Do you celebrate holiday Eve?
Well, no, I guess I don't.
Checkmate! Christmas it is.
Okay, well, it's getting late in the season. Is it too late to send out my Christmas cards?
Christmas cards? You send them Pony Express? This is the email age. You email your Christmas cards. It's never too late.
Well, I kind of like having Christmas cards to hang around the house.
You want something to hang with? You ever hear of mistletoe at Christmas?
Well, yeah.
Well, nothing. Hang the mistletoe, not the cards. Cards are flammable. Mistletoe is nice, safe, and juicy. For example, at the big Christmas party I have every year, I always hang mistletoe, and I've never regretted it. Not buying chapstick, yes, that's a regret. But the mistletoe... No regrets there.
What does this have to do with Christmas cards?
Nothing. I'm just, like, telling that story.
But I want real Christmas cards to hang around the house.
Well, then I guess you should have sent those cards out right after Thanksgiving, boyzo. But no, you sat around eating leftover cold turkey sandwiches. And now you're out of luck. Christmas cards at youweretoolate.com.
Okay, what is the best thing to serve at your holiday gathering?
There you go again. Christmas party! Say it, Christmas!
Okay, Christmas party. What's the best food to serve at your Christmas party?
Well, I like fruitcake and eggnog.
I don't really like fruitcake.
I don't really care. It's not about you. It's about your guests. And I like fruitcake. As a matter of fact, I like most any kind of cake, except cupcakes. Never been a fan. Why separate a perfectly good cake?
What does this have to do with my party?
You have a real me attitude, you know that? You know, Santa Claus is not going to leave anything in your stocking this year, or any year, with this type of attitude. In my day, if you were good, Santa left an orange in your stocking. If you were really good, Santa left two oranges in your stocking. And if you were really, really, really good, you got a pair of gloves.
Why not three oranges?
Who wants an orange for Christmas? You know what it was like to wake up Christmas morning and have nothing but a lousy orange? I'm not starving. All the kids in the neighborhood are out playing with their new sleds and bicycles. And I had an orange. I can hardly imagine how jealous they were.
Okay, what about music? What's the best music to play at a Christmas party?
Now we're talking. This is my special area. You could go classic, Silver Bells, It's Christmas Time in the City, or Walking in a Winter Wonderland, or my all-time favorite, Chestnuts Roasting on an Open Fire. Jack Frost nipping at your nose. Yuletide carols being sung by a choir. And folks dressed up like Eskimos. Everybody knows a turkey and some mistletoe help to make the season bright. Tiny tots with their eyes all aglow will find it hard to sleep tonight. They know that Santa's on his way. He's loaded lots of toys and goodies on his sleigh. And every mother's child is gonna say, you see, if reindeer really know how to fly. And so I'm offering this simple phrase to kids from 1 to 92. Although it's been said many times, many ways, Merry Christmas to you. And so I'm offering this simple phrase to kids from 1 to 92. Although it's been said many times, many ways, Merry Christmas to you.
Wow, that's impressive. And you know, it's my favorite too. Written in 1944 by Mel Torme.
Oh, man, that's depressing.
Why?
Because I'm older than the song. It was written in 1944. I'm depressed. I need some fruitcake.
Do you have a favorite Christmas movie?
Say what?
A favorite Christmas movie.
Oh, yeah, well... my God, haven't you heard of Elf?
That's a good Christmas movie. I particularly like Santa Claus in that movie.
Well, hands down, It's a Wonderful Life. What a great story. Jimmy Stewart singing, and that famous line from Little Zuzu at the end, every time you hear a bell, the oranges have arrived, FedEx.
That's not the line. It's every time you hear a bell, an angel gets his wings.
Oh. That must have been a different version in my neighborhood.
Okay, let's try this. What's the best story to read to your family at Christmas time?
Oh, without question. Ebenezer Scrooge. Bah, humbug. Oh, what a story that is. A guy who is evil and is visited by three ghosts and then turns into a nice man. Yeah, you know, I had an Uncle Ebenezer. Yeah, old Ebenezer Asner. A lot of Z's there, isn't there? Boy, was he a difficult guy to get along with. When I was growing up, on Christmas morning, he would come over with figgy pudding. Now, who wants figgy pudding? Yuck! But I got even with him. I used to throw those darn Christmas oranges in his car.
Oh, wasn't exactly Charles Dickens, was it?
Hey, don't get me wrong. I love the holidays. But it's different now. Everyone in a hurry, wanting to buy something for someone else. It's supposed to be about family and love, caring.
You know, that's beautiful.
I know, I read it on the back of the eggnog carton during my last break.
Well, not that this hasn't been fun, but do you happen to have any parting words for our audience?
Yes, I do. Enjoy the holidays. Stay safe. Be with your friends and family. Keep the spirit of goodness with you all year round. And most importantly, no oranges!
Merry Christmas, Mr. Asner.
Merry Christmas, Scott.
The wonderful Ed Asner. I'm sorry we did not remember to play that during the Christmas season, but I think it holds up first thing the day after Christmas. He was great. He made that script work. All right, phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. I'm still alone here in the studio. No Matt and no Pastor Craig as of yet, but we'll see if they arrive anytime soon. 740-383-9944. Give us a buzz. How was your Christmas holiday? Hope it was a good one out there. I know the day after Christmas is kind of a rough day for a lot of people. You know, most people do not go back to work today. Obviously, schools are not in session. I'm not sure what is running as far as governmental things. I don't think a lot of that's going on this morning. It's a weird morning, the day after Christmas, especially when it falls on a Friday, because the weekend is tomorrow, so if anybody does come back to work today, it's usually only for just one day, and a lot of businesses don't do that. It was nice to see everything closed yesterday, though. I did like that. That's the one day a year where everything more or less is closed except for McDonald's, for whatever reason, and gas stations. So again, I hope everybody had a wonderful holiday season, and the phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. It is interesting, though, how everything just stops. You know, we have all that great buildup for the big Christmas holiday, and then in one day, the music all stops, the shopping and the rushing all stop. And here we are, the day after Christmas. It is interesting, though. I know a lot of people this morning will be returning gifts that they did not want or gifts that did not fit. I know that's a big day today. If you go to the department stores, they'll be piled up with the returns. That never seemed like a fun thing to do. Work the day after Christmas and be barraged with all of those returns. But again, the phone lines are open here this morning. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. We are back in live after the big Christmas holiday. And I hope that everybody did have a wonderful Christmas holiday. So if you did, let us know what you did. I did hear, I will say this, I heard from a lot of people this year that it did not feel like Christmas. Now, I think a lot of that had to do with the weather. I mean, we had particularly nice weather yesterday. I guess we're going to have particularly nice weather today as well. But it was warmer than it normally has been. And I think that that partially is part of the problem. When it is warm in the Midwest on Christmas, it just doesn't feel like Christmas when you go outside without a coat or anything like that. I don't know. It's probably like spending Christmas in Florida. It probably has that same type of, that particular type of feel. Now, we are heading into the end of the year now. A lot of people will be doing the top stories of 2025. And I was trying to think locally here. I wonder what the top stories of 2025 are. I certainly don't think you're going to get any bigger than what was going on with the city. I think that obviously takes precedent, that we found out the city is more or less, I don't like to use the term broke, but the city certainly has some financial troubles, to say the least. And we seem to be finding out more and more about this as time goes along. So I don't know. That's a pretty big story. And we still really don't know what to what degree the city is in financial peril. So that's a big story of 2025. I certainly think the Ayers-Ratliff saga with Prosecutor Ray Grogan, I think that was highlighted again in 2025, with the charges at one point being dropped against Mr. Ratliff and then picked back up later in the year, and then Ayers suing Grogan. You know, I certainly think that's an ongoing drama. Can you imagine that all started back in May of 2024? And just in a few days, we're about to go into 2026. So this now has been going on for nearly 2 years. And it certainly has been a saga. And mainly a saga because it's been played out in the public eye. because you had a sitting council person, no longer a sitting council person as of January the 1st, but you had a sitting council person involved in this, and you had the county prosecutor. So obviously it got very ugly, and it was covered by the Columbus media, and we'll see where that goes in 2026. It's certainly not over yet, but I think that would qualify as a big story of 2025. What else happened in 2025 that would be of particular interest? Does anybody have any thoughts out there? Big stories of 2025? 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. What would you say are the big stories in Marion, Ohio of 2025? I think those are the ones that stick out for me. I can't think of any other things that went on, let's say, in Marion County that had a whole lot of weight to them. I think what happened with the palace director having to resign or was fired, depending on who's telling the story, Kirk Detweiler, because of the appearance in the, Netflix documentary. That was a big story that went on for a while. You know, certainly not much talk of that as of late, since Kurt was, how do you say that? I guess separated from the palace. But that was quite a story. And you know, I hope again that that is a lesson for people, that you've got to speak to the media. Everybody and their uncle, lawyers, the people you work for, your friends, will say, don't speak, don't speak, don't speak. But if you don't get out there and correct it, how does it end? Well, in Kurt's case, unfortunately, it ended with him either being fired or let go, depending on what happened in those meetings. So, you know, you really should say something. And I'm not saying you have to tell your whole story, but it certainly doesn't hurt. And that was one of those cases. So that was probably a big story that we covered in 2025 that went on and on. Trying to think if anything happened on a local level. I honestly can't. Am I forgetting any big stories that happened in 2025? You know, it's all kind of a blur. You know, years seem to go by fast when you get to the end of them, but then when you look back, you think, boy, that's been a long time ago. Like, I think back to that whole Kirk Detweiler story at the palace, and I think, boy, that happened a long time ago. Phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Feel free to give us a buzz here if there's anything on your mind. We are awaiting with bated breath the arrival of Matt Morgan and Pastor Craig here this morning on WGH Talk. Maybe they had big, big holidays, and it just wore them out. 740-383-9944. Feel free to give us a buzz. Let us know what is on your mind this morning. Well, Wednesday was a lot of fun here at the station. Sam Donaldson called in, and Cousin Brucey, legendary radio broadcaster, called in. That was a lot of fun. Mary Ellen Withrow came in on Wednesday. We also had the Grinch in here on Wednesday. The Grinch had never been on radio before, so that was his first appearance. That was fun. We learned all about how that all came to be and why he's been doing the Grinch here in Marion for 17 years. Mary Ellen was in here, and I thought shared a lot of good stories in regard to her Christmases and Christmases in Washington and as state treasurer and things of that nature. Thought that was a very good program. It was a fun day. Christmas Eve was a fun day. We also had the eggnog. The eggnog with a little touch of rum, I believe, was the, what do you call it, spirit? In the eggnog this past year, and we thank Terry Klein for coming in with that. I think that was brought to you by the Industrial Channel. See, I got it right. I always get that right when I'm thinking about it. If it's just coming out of my mouth, for some reason I say something else. But it is the Industrial Channel, and we thank them. We thank them for being our supporter for Halloween, as well as the Fruitcake Toss. The Buckeye Donuts were brought to you by the Industrial Channel, as well as the Eggnog on Christmas Eve. So that was fun as well. So it was a good week for Christmas. Does anybody have any odd traditions that they do on Christmas? You know, you don't hear much anymore about the Christmas oranges. Now, this year, I know a lot of people were looking for fruitcakes. I don't think fruitcakes were as plentiful as they have been in the past. I thought that was interesting. Not many people talking about fruitcakes this year. And also, there are these little chocolate, I think they're called chocolate oranges, that people really like, that I did not see any of this year. I heard people asking about them, where are the chocolate oranges, but I did not see any. I'm sure some stores were selling them, but I did not see any. Has anybody ever had the chocolate oranges? The chocolate oranges are very, very, very good. You would think they would not be good. The first time I tried one about 10 years ago, I thought that's not really going to be good, but it's not bad at all. Those chocolate oranges are actually very, very good. Has anybody ever had those? 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. 36 coming up on 37 minutes past the hour here, WGH Talk Time, on this Getaway Friday, December the 26th, 2025, 12-26-25. Let's see, did anything else happen in 2025 that was of any kind of consequence? There's nothing that I can really think of that really did anything. You know, the other day, we had a caller call in and ask me if I saw the Kennedy Center Honors. I believe that was on Tuesday night. I did not get a chance to see that, and I still have not gotten a chance to see it, although I'm going to try to take a watch of that. But I did hear, apparently, for whatever reason, it got the lowest ratings in the history of the Kennedy Center Honors. Apparently, it was 23% lower ratings this year than the previous year. Now, I'm not sure why the ratings were lower. I don't know what happened there, but I guess that's the way it was. Not a lot of people watched it. Well, I think it was on during a bad time, to be honest with you. The night before Christmas Eve is usually a pretty busy night for people, and that's just a tough time slot to be in. Well, I'll tell you what I think was a pretty big story statewide of 2025 was our gubernatorial race, which continues to gain momentum. I'm fascinated by the gubernatorial race. You know, we're 11 months away now from this, just about 11 months, more probably closer to 10 months at this point, because the election will happen early in November of 2026, and some people seem to think that Vivek Ramaswamy has this in the bag. I certainly would not say that he has this in the bag. But if we look back at 2025, I think it's fascinating that Vivek started out so strong. He announced he was running for governor. He got the endorsement of President Trump. Basically, everybody else dropped out of the race on the Republican side. The Republican Party in Ohio endorsed him. Jim Tressel did not get into the race, even though there was some speculation that he wanted to get into the race. And here you had Amy Acton on the Democratic side. She didn't seem to be doing much in the early part of the year. We thought Tim Ryan might get into the race at one point. That never seemed to happen. And then, all of a sudden, at the end of the year, here comes Governor DeWine. He defends Amy Acton, says all the decisions made during his time as governor during COVID were his decisions, and the buck stops with him, and also says he's not ready to endorse Vivek Ramaswamy, although he will endorse the Republican. So it was a very odd year, gubernatorial race-wise, and Amy Acton is leading in most of the polls that you look at this particular point, with 11 months to go. I don't know what her chances are. I don't know what that's all about. You know, I've often said that the people who generally dislike her from the pandemic, which is really, at this point, what more do you know about her than that? If you dislike her from the pandemic and you have a really visceral dislike for her, in my opinion, I think that actually helps her. Because that type of person was never going to vote for her anyway. But it gives her attention because they know her. They know her, they're aware of her, and they have a visceral reaction toward her. So I think in the end, people know who she is. I don't know if people know who Nan Whaley was, the Democrat who ran for governor back in 2022, I guess it was. So I think it's different in that way. And I think a lot, if you dislike a person greatly, it means you know them. And it means you know something about them. And that helps, you know. I don't know. It's a very interesting thing that will play out over the next year. And again, phone lines are open if you have any thoughts on this. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Well, you know, it's kind of a slow morning here this morning. I think the holiday wears everybody out. As I said earlier in the broadcast, that's one of those things that when Christmas is over, I think everybody takes a breath and has a sigh of relief and kind of says, okay, thank goodness it's over and we can all relax now. Because I'll tell you, leading into the holiday, people were frantic. People were absolutely frantic this year. They were as wound as I've never seen people wound as tight as they were this past year. Now, I don't know what that was, but people were just very, very tight. They were tight. They were nervous. They were frantic is a very good word about it. When I left here on Wednesday morning, Christmas Eve morning, I was driving back to Route 95, and just to get from the boulevard to Meijer, it took me probably 20 minutes. Cars were just lined up on Route 95. It was really something. I don't know. That last day, right up till the last day, people were just frantic about the holiday season. And I don't remember that in past years. You know, we've done Christmas Eve shows here on this station for quite a long time. And I don't ever remember it being that frantic to the point to where you could not get down a street on Christmas Eve morning. It would take you 20 minutes to get up and down the street. But one thing that was odd that day was how many people were washing their cars. I thought that was fascinating on Christmas Eve. That one of the places that was doing quite the business on Route 95 was the car wash place. They were wrapped almost into the street. People wanting to get in and get a car wash on Christmas Eve. And I wonder, is that like a class conscious thing? That you want to get your car washed before the holiday? I don't know. I thought that was odd. Because in December in Ohio, there probably is some dirt on your car because of the snow that we've had and things of that nature that get on your car. But apparently, when you go to somebody's house for Christmas Eve or Christmas Day or whatever it might be, apparently, you have to have a clean car. You have to stop by the place and get your car washed. Did anybody go get a car wash on Wednesday, on Christmas Eve? Did anybody notice that the car wash places were as busy as they were? 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. 45 minutes past the hour here, WGH Talk Time, on this Getaway Friday, December the 26th, 2025, 12-26-25. Feel free to give us a buzz if you have any thoughts or memories from your Christmas Eve holiday. You know, I think a lot of people also got screwed up on the days of the week. I don't know how many people yesterday thought it was Sunday. I think Christmas feels like Sunday because so many things are closed. So it was interesting to get people's feeling yesterday that it was Sunday, which of course it was not. It was Thursday, and here we are all back for the Friday broadcast. Now, I have no idea where Matt and Pastor Craig are, because the last time I talked to Pastor Craig, I think it was Saturday last week, and he said, I'll be there on Friday morning to spend the whole morning with you. I hope he's okay wherever he is. I have not heard from him since, but we hope he arrives here sometime soon. We'd all like to hear from him and see him here at the station. And Matt, I did hear from Matt yesterday, and he said he would be here at 8, but apparently we've got a little delay going on there with Matt, so hopefully he arrives sometime soon. I don't know. It's that day after Christmas jinx we've got going on here. So it's just me at this particular point as we wait patiently for the others to arrive. And I think our callers have gone to sleep this morning, or maybe sleeping in. You know, again, the holidays will wear you out. 47 minutes past the hour here, WGH Talk Time. And again, the phone lines are open. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. 6 days left in 2025. Big New Year's celebrations will happen. I don't know if we're doing anything in Marion, to be honest with you. I haven't heard anything in regard to the ball drop or anything like that. All right, go ahead, caller.
Love your city.
Yes, how was your Christmas?
I'm bummed out. I told Santa I wanted a couple Playboy bunnies, and I never got them.
Didn't get them. That's too bad.
Yep.
Did it seem like Christmas to you, or did the weather throw you off?
Did not seem like Christmas. It certainly was not a white Christmas. Oh, is that racist to say, I'm sorry it wasn't a white Christmas?
No, I don't think so. I don't think you're referring to skin color.
Well, I mean, you know, you got Ilhan Omar and the rest of those wackos out there. Anytime somebody of pale complexion says something about white, it's white racist, etc., etc., or they call you a Nazi.
Well, you know what's interesting about, an interesting conversation to have here this morning. Here's what I don't understand. Okay, like a few years ago, it's not so much the talk anymore, but when the talk was about the statues being taken down. Now, what was interesting to me was, there were not a whole lot of statues taken down in this country. There were a few. And the statues that were taken down, no significant person in American history statue was taken down. And if you actually did no president statue was taken down. No person of that nature was, probably names people wouldn't even recognize today. But what was interesting was, during that time, people got so enraged. It was as if you were taking down statues of people who were very significant in the history.
Didn't you hear?
What's that?
George Washington's no longer on Mount Rushmore.
No, he's still there.
They cut him down.
No, but people, I guess my point is that people, I guess they don't like that any statue came down, so they take it to the extreme as if all statues are coming down, which they're not. And I don't understand. Are they just unhappy?
It's the focus of the media. It's the focus of the media. What's hot, cover it, etc. And it feeds into mass hysteria.
Well, I know that the media gets blamed for a lot, but I can't blame the media for that one because
sure, you can.
No, I can't.
You absolutely
because
can.
I can't.
You can't blame the media because the mantra of the media is if it bleeds, it leads.
Right.
And whatever they can do to illustrate and show, because it is an extremely focused story. If there were only those few instances of statues being taken down.
Right, but they...
And that feeds to the whole country.
Right.
And that tends to lead to mass hysteria.
Right, but that is the media's job. If a statue is taken...
It depends on how that story is delivered.
Well, I guess the point is everybody thinks they know better than the media. But my point is, if a statue were taken down in Marion, which P.S. none were, but if one was taken down,
Christopher Columbus and Columbus. Let's use that as
That's a good one. That's a good one because the Christopher Columbus statue that was taken down was the one taken down on campus. And it was taken down.
It was taken at City Hall.
City Hall.
It was taken down at City Hall. There was never, in all of the trekking around campus, I'd never seen a statue of Christopher.
So just Columbus City Hall was the only one taken down.
It was Columbus City Hall.
Okay, that one was taken down. But you would have thought that every statue of Christopher Columbus in Columbus was taken down, and it wasn't. And they still are there.
How many statues of Christopher Columbus were or are there in Columbus?
There's one,
Ohio,
at the State House. That's still there.
I noticed that one.
It's still there. And probably a lot more prominent than the one at City Hall. I mean, I'm sure more people visit the State House than City Hall. So what I don't understand is one came down. The media did report that, as they should. It's one statue coming down. But then people acted as if everything else was changing, and it didn't. The statue of Christopher Columbus is still at the State House.
Did they ever do anything with the Santa Maria?
Not that I'm aware of.
Is it even still down there?
I don't know. I don't know. I don't even remember why Christopher Columbus came down at City Hall. I think the council voted to take it down.
I think it had something to do with woke bullshit, you know?
Well, see, now
that
there's...
a whole movement and stuff.
Well, see, but there's another term I don't understand, because when I ask five different people what that means, nobody has the same answer.
Well, if you ask five different people, do you think thespians should marry? You'll get some most likely five extremely different answers.
Right, but most people don't claim to know what thespians are. They claim to know
too many people claim to know what the hell they're talking about when they don't, because they're influenced by people that have no business making statements to the general public, i.e. celebrities.
Right, but what I'm saying is they do claim to know what woke is because they use it in a context, and I go, okay, well, what is woke? And it's all different depending on who you talk to.
Well, I think by and large, I mean, you know, you if anybody ever, I read the dictionary every now and again just to see what stuff is actually is, and depending upon the usage and the context, it can have varying meanings. But I think by and large, a woke person or being woke is imposing your sense of morality upon the general public.
Well, everybody does that.
Their own individual... Well, then there's a hell of a lot of woke people out there. There are a lot of people who use common sense. Now, there's a differentiation between common sense and wokeness. Wokeness, by and large, imposing one's own self-righteous view of morality.
Well, but then wouldn't...
Not necessarily the consensus of the general public.
Well, then wouldn't somebody... Well, that's very interesting.
Myopic.
Well, that's very interesting then. So in Ohio, if you were anti-marijuana and you were anti-abortion, you would be woke because...
No.
Well,
no.
Those... Why not? Because those
why
are...
Why would you?
Because those are moralistic opinions that you're trying to impose.
No.
They're not?
It's only a moralistic opinion if somebody, some individual, or individuals as a group, express that.
You don't think groups express that they don't want abortion?
What do you think I just said, Scott?
Right.
I said whether an individual or groups express that.
Okay, that's what I'm saying. So if a group or individuals express, Mike DeWine right now is expressing that he's not sure about marijuana, and so is the legislature. So if they express that, but yet the majority of the people in Ohio voted for those things, so they're woke if
that's
they...
That's different when you put something up for general consensus. When you put together a referendum for people to vote on.
Right, which is done.
Now, when you impose your morality upon others just willy-nilly like that, that's being woke.
Well, that's what I'm saying. So if we pass abortion in Ohio to legalize it, which we did, the majority by far passed it, but yet there are still groups in Ohio fighting that, trying to impose their beliefs on other people, even though the majority has spoken, the group that is anti-abortion would be woke.
You could say that.
So there you go. So that's, but I, if you said that was woke, I guarantee you 99% of the people who use the term woke would say no.
Well, do you think some of the white supremacists, if you said you're a bunch of Nazis, neo-Nazis, white supremacists, would admit that they were that way? Not necessarily.
Right, but that's what I'm saying.
Some mental midgets probably would be proud to say they were.
Well, and I guess that's my problem with woke is that everybody's got a different opinion on what it means. So it just depends.
Scott, you know something?
What's that?
Life. Everybody has an opinion. That's why we have elections. That's why we have a referendum, so that we can cut through all of this talk and enact legislation.
Right, but
it becomes the law of the land, and if they don't like it, they can campaign, get another referendum, reverse that.
Right, but now back to the Christopher Columbus thing, which you referred to as being a possibly woke thing that happened. But here's the thing. It was taken down. It was not destroyed, by the way. It was put in storage, and it was offered to parks to put up if they would like to do that. And for 5 years, almost six now, nobody has taken them up to do that. Nobody has commissioned the city of Columbus to put it back up, so it still exists in storage.
You know what's interesting? If the powers that be wanted to get rid of that statue for whatever their reason was, that, oh, he was a bad guy, blah, 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 why didn't they change the name of Columbus, Ohio, to another name.
Well, I think it's a lot harder to change your capital name than it is to take down a statue.
Could be, but, you know, I don't think these people were people of conviction.
I don't know. I guess my point is where was the outpouring to get this thing back up somewhere else in Columbus?
I don't know. Most people figure, hey, it's the government. What the hell can we do? Short of an insurrection, what are you going to do? Or where are the cheerleaders to say, hey, look, this is part of history. It needs to stand. Like school buildings should always be maintained and never taken down because they're statues to the hope of a better informed society.
And we got to go to break, but we'll be back right after this short...
better tomorrow.
This short but important break. We'll be back.
Well, she wasn't real because most mothers lose their temper sometime and they get mad.